everybody, it's Max. I've got two quick items for you. The first thing is I want to tell you about the Do By Friday Patreon. You've probably noticed by now that Do By Friday is completely ad-free. We don't sell you ads for mattresses or ZipRecruiter or nothing on this show. And you're probably wondering, Max, other than your wildly successful card game, how do you afford to do this show for free? Well, here's pretty much how it works. You guys have money, and we want your money. And you can go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. You sign up for $5 a month right there on our Patreon. And you get access to a whole second episode of the show every week. That's right, we record two episodes of Do By Friday every week. There's the one you hear on this feed, and then we usually stick around for, I don't know, maybe a half hour to an hour afterwards, and we record a whole second episode, and you only get it if you're a premium member of our Patreon. Well, that brings me to the second order of business today. So I was editing this episode, and I realized that we introduced all these classic new bits and characters in the after show this week. So I talked about this cult leader that I'm really obsessed with that I think is going to make future appearances on the show. Merlin introduces us to his new beloved character, Ty Lambo. And so we had a little meeting and we were like, guys, it feels wrong to deprive our normal Do By Friday listeners of these new, you know, modern classics of bits, really. And so we decided to be very generous this week and share the premium after show with you guys on the general feed. If you like it, if it makes you laugh, if you want to support the show and help us keep ads off of here, you know, maybe consider throwing us $5 a month and support the show. That's again, that's at giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. Hey, enjoy the free after show, you filthy animals.
DJ Frost, that's a handsome guy. Oh, look at that guy.
You know what? I really thought that was circling the toilet, but
we brought it back.
This is one of the I've literally never. I know. People are going to challenge literally. Me on this. I have so, literally never farted in this office unless it was in a restroom. I was laughing.
That's impossible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's not possible.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I got very close to farting.
Alex,
I was laughing
like
so
that,
hard.
You're like that one guy who's like never vomits.
It's, right, and that's sniff or see. No, not in a mean way.
It's a perfect lie. How would anyone ever call you on it?
Oh, because sometimes if you hold it in a real long time, your stomach starts to grumble. Like, oh,
yeah, but then you get an anus like a wizard's sleeve.
You know what? My body, my choice, Merlin.
We have fun, don't we? Max, what did you want to bring us? So welcome to the after show. You gave us your money. Max,
wow,
you had a problematic podcast.
You guys found really good ones, and I didn't.
I found much more upsetting, like sad people manipulating people. And I was
I think the way we did that, I have to say, pat on the back, I think the way we did that was pretty good. What you don't get from these, unless you sit down and fucking listen to this bullshit, is exactly what you said, Alex. And really exactly what you said, Max. Which is, this is all the podcast. This is the X in the bear trap for some kind of bullshit somewhere else. They want you, the podcast is just a total pinch loaf one off project to like, oh, go do this to go, like, go check out my site. And when you check out my site, you learn more about my book. And when you buy my book, you learn more about my coaching. And when you buy my coaching, you learn more about my podcast. It's just this personal self development circle jerk that has no end to it.
Well, did you guys read, speaking of this, I read an amazing article last night that was like totally chilling and awesome. It was called fuck. Oh, I have to go into this tab. Hang on, can't fucking find anything anymore. Okay, so it was on Medium, but it was like a real piece of journalism. And
how that's a disclaimer now. And
it's by this writer.
It's on Medium, but it's good.
Yeah, it's on Medium, but it's legit. It's by this woman named B. Schofield. And she basically profiled a cult leader called Bentino Massaro, and he's this white tech bro who has a sort of productivity, lifestyle, spirituality cult in Sedona, Arizona. Basically, the description is, Sedona, Arizona has been infiltrated by a polyamorous tech bro cult leader with a massive following. His devotees are everywhere. They believe he can control the weather with his mind. He talks about aliens and government conspiracies, sleeps with and verbally abuses his students, and believes he is an awakened god not responsible for his actions. I spent 1 month embedded in his group under the alias Shakti Hunter. This is my report. It was a very, very chilling, good article. But basically, this guy, he's just one Pokemon evolution away from the people we were listening to, where he basically does these productivity retreats and these lifestyle retreats, and he teaches you how to meditate and do and levitate and all this bullshit. And like, but then he's actually a sociopathic cult leader, like full blown. And there were some fucking awesome quotes, like some really David Avocado Wolf esque quotes. So it's like, here's a quote from him. He said, this is a quote, quote, "We have bases on the moon, a bunch of slave colonies on Mars that have been mining the asteroid belt. We have been colonizing galaxies of our solar system. We haven't needed fossil fuels for the last 80 years because we have anti-gravitic mechanisms. The Nazis won the war. The U.S. government gave up their control." But this is one quote. This isn't a strung together list of things. This is one quote he's saying.
Oh my God.
"The Nazis won the war. The U.S. government gave up their control, their governance, so we would not be exposed to free energy devices. If free energy gets released, we're," meaning his company, Trinfinity Corp, "working on it. It changes everything. We've had free energy for 80 fucking years. Don't be surprised that the aliens will meet, and we will meet them. Look like the things that you see in movies. Don't be like, oh, this story of this guy is nonsense because I've seen it in the movies. He just got it from the movies. Well, he did get it from the movies, or did the movies get it from them? The vision statement of Trinfinity is to have an enlightened civilization by 2035 that's ready for interstellar absorption. It means that we reach a level of maturity to where we as a collective are able to be contacted openly without us freaking out anymore, without it needing to be kept secret anymore. We have become our own government. Many of you are already directly connected to ET consciousness. We are going to be absorbed initially into different confederations or alliances of civilizations that are fourth density or higher. We will be taught a lot. There will be a new type of education." This guy fucking owns. He's so cool. I want to join his cult, actually.
Challenge.
Our life would be so much easier if you just got fucked by this guy and like lived in his cult and you meditated until you reached a higher density level.
There's a lot of times where I'm like, okay, my faith definitely looks like a cult, but it would be kind of nice to just be among a bunch of women who are completely silent and all they eat is gruel. Like, that's a pretty good lifestyle for me. I just be a cloistered nun surrounded by books. Oh, it's a dream. Max, what was your podcast that's going to make us sad?
All right. Well, so basically...
I should say, this challenge genuinely made me very sad until I got, like, real deep into the, like, really bonkers people.
Remember I said I was going to find the anti-Semitic podcast where one of the hosts was revealed to be Jewish?
Right.
I did find it, and I listened to it, and I thought maybe it would be funny. And, you know, it wasn't funny, and I did think still I would play it, but I just had more of a serious point to make about it, which is, so the podcast is called The Daily Shoah.
Yep.
And we might have talked about it on the program.
There
was that funny...
It was your goal to make us the number one anti-Semitic podcast, and they were our competition.
None of us have been outed as a Jew. I remember this bit, right. But anyway, I did listen to a little bit of it, and like, you know, I'm curious. Like, so you guys know what do you know? What's on your note card about this podcast? Right, it's a group of guys, and it's the number one anti-Semitic podcast. They talk about like race science, and you know, one of the guys was outed as being Jewish or part Jewish or whatever. What do you think it sounds like in your head?
A basic podcast.
I would like to think it's
honestly
like pretty high production values. Mm-hmm. Like, but like basically a lot of guys having what sounds like a very reasoned conversation about explaining why things in the world are the way they are based on seemingly provable ways of showing that it's Jews who do it. But like a morning DJ kind of show.
Well, that's...
What do you think, Alex? What's your guess?
I do think it's like not quite NPR style, but maybe, you know, one of those like The Daily Show featuring. But then it just becomes like Chapo, like a normal like... Oh, here's some analysis, and then maybe some silly jokes, and then they're done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess in my head, what I thought it would be more like an alt-right rally or like a Nazi rally, and like I've actually like I used to work at this organization called the Anti-Defamation League, and they do this, they like infiltrate these groups and stuff. And I was when I was in college, I had a job where I was an investigative researcher for the ADL, and I like went to some of these rallies, and you know, you'd go and like surveil them and take photos and stuff. So I've been exposed to some of this stuff. Like, I know it's out there, but I guess I thought it would sound like one of these rallies where it'd be pretty angry and there'd be sort of fiery speeches.
And but there's a lot of laughing and joking.
Yeah, it sounds like
that's how the pickup artist podcasts are. The seduction community podcasts are like it's much more gentle and like, hey, we're just having fun here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, if you guys already know that, I'm probably not. I'm going to skip playing it because I don't want to give them like airtime on the show. But yeah, that was mainly what I was surprised by. Was it's just guy. It sounds like they're just having fun. I mean, it's a pretty high production. Like it sounds like us, honestly. Like just people having just people goofing around. And it just made
And you ended up liking it a lot more than you expected.
Well, you made some really good points. I mean, what can I say?
It's like, they're just asking the question.
I've never really listened before. But no, it did, you know, there is this idea of like when this comes to our culture in a mainstream way, when it happens in America, it won't necessarily sound like a World War II movie. It won't necessarily be like 1984. It's going to just sound normal. Like, it's going to come cloaked in the popular culture of the day. It's going to be so fucking normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
that's what I thought about when I listened to this. I was like, man, it just fits right in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a lot of confused, like, teenagers who, you know.
Well, I mean, and think of, like, let's take this a little bit seriously for a minute. And, you know, back to my own taste in podcasts, which is excellent. Something I've said for a long time that I really believe is true is that people come for the content and stay for the voices. So you end up going to a show that's about a thing that's about productivity or Max or whatever. And like, if it's not some godforsaken comedy podcast, you're there because there's some content you like about it. And then something happens. What happens is you either cannot tolerate the fucking voices, even for the content that you desire, and you have to run away screaming. Or you find yourself not really caring what they talk about because you're so into the relationship that you've learned with these people. Like, I can finally suss out who the different people are on Chapo. And there's the guy who says rather. And like, I know who the different people are. I know who Felix is. And like, it could be a Bim Bam. It could be any other show with white guys. It could be Flophouse. But you get to like the personalities of the people. And I think what really seals it for me is this sounds so creepy, but I know it's true. I like being there while their relationship evolves.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. That's why callbacks are fun. That's why all of that stuff is fun. And that, in some ways, so let's take it and turn it. That's what's fucked up about a show like that, I'm guessing, is that you may just really like the people. I don't agree with tons of stuff that people say on Chop House. I think that their willfully bleak worldview is so fucking depressing. But on the one hand, it is a voice that I do want to hear. As a POV, but I also just enjoy their bits.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Felix would talk a little bit less about fucking, but that's okay. But that, you that know what I'm saying? You start me, to like the relationship.
That gets me right in my brainstem. When he goes on one
he,
of his
he
long...
does it too. He does it too much, too fast, and too easy, and it's really creepy.
Yeah.
But you guys know what I'm saying, though. So like, setting aside a given show,
it's
that's
so
the thing.
That's one of the funniest things in the world to me.
When he does the when he does his blasting pussy stuff,
yes, like it just fucking.
They want Robert Mueller to blast their pussy.
Yeah, I want him fucking hitting those back walls. It kills me. It fucking kills me.
But like you start to appreciate like every show. You know, has a groaner. We have Alex. You can feel like one person's discomfort and another person's going too far. But you see where I'm going with this. I think that's what makes you love a podcast. If it's not one of these ding-a-ling,
it's like you start
podcast.
Listening to Susan Effectiveness because you want to know how to purchase because
you want
to
get
groceries.
It going now.
Yeah. Well, it's like you want to know how to purchase groceries at the grocery store and not over purchase or under purchase. But then why do you stay? It's because you're you want to hang out with her and you're attached to the character. Because
you're cranking your hog. She's so fucking effective. Oh my God. She's so dirty. But, Alex, did you ever get into... I'm sorry. I want to hear more. Max, so that was at the end.
I have one more that I just sent you guys. This isn't a weird podcast, but it's a weird...
I love this so much. I love this. This is the greatest thing on the internet.
Have I showed this to you before?
I'm so glad this exists.
Oh, yeah.
I've sent this to you guys before?
Yeah, maybe not in the context of the show, but yes.
Please talk about what okay. this phenomenon
so I just
and
love,
this channel is.
This is adjacent to what you're talking about with podcasts, which is just I love weird YouTube communities.
We've talked about Elevator YouTube.
I think we talked
YouTube.
About it on Top Scouts.
God damn.
No, it's not a different show.
We talked about everything on this show already.
No, we're done.
Over. But basically, like, I first became aware of this because I found this fetish community where what they do is they make video edits of fully clothed women in public situations, for example, like they're on a talk show talking to Conan O'Brien, but then they edit them so that they're decapitated and they're holding their head in their hands. So the head is still talking, but it's detached from their head, from their body, and they're holding it in their hands like a basketball. And it's a pretty big fetish community on YouTube. And because the women are fully clothed, it's like YouTube compatible. So they basically...
Well, she's not dead or in pain. She's just decapitated.
No, she's really happy to be there. And that's part of the fetish is that everything goes on like normal. No one comments on it, right? It's like, yeah, you're just walking around holding your head. And that's part of the... And it's always the woman. And then she's usually talking to a man. And that's just the fetish. And so I became aware of that. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. This is so cool. It's right here. It's like children could watch this. It's just on YouTube. And then I found all these other weird communities like Elevator YouTube. And the one that I'm really excited about nowadays is Plastic Chair YouTube. So, you know, plastic chairs, like lawn chairs, mm-hmm. like you would get, you know, like at a patio
there
or something.
They're these, like, they're the mass market. I remember reading how funny it was that when they show pictures of Guantanamo, you would see this the white lawn chair that literally everybody has owned at some point. It's, like, the most popular lawn chair in the world, which is, I don't know if the word's extruded, but, like, it's that, like a big thing just farts out this lawn chair at scale, and you buy them at Walmart. But, like, but I've seen blogs of, like, you see this, this is somewhat related to this, like, there's this one lawn chair that you see everywhere in the world. It's one of the most widely used things in the world.
Yeah.
And then so people are enthusiasts about it.
Can I play a little bit of this, Max?
Well, I'm going to play the one I just sent.
Yeah.
In terms of the extruding.
I love the guy.
In terms of the extruding and how it's made and I'm talking, Alex.
I'm sorry.
In terms of how it's made and what the actual interesting parts, like what Merlin's talking about, I actually do recommend it. I have a great documentary about this, which is the Gary Hustwit documentary, Objectified. It's the second documentary in his trilogy about design. And it's the best, in my opinion, it's my favorite one. It's the best one. But I might be on Netflix.
Wait, what's the third one?
Urbanified.
Oh, and, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, so there's one about Helvetica, and then there's Objectified, which is about product design, and there's one about cities. And they're all strong. They're all really good and pleasant, and it's a style that's much copied now. But the Objectified holds up really well. It's a really beautiful and smart documentary. I absolutely love it. And they do talk about, like, what does it mean for these products to become ubiquitous? So if you're interested in that, check out Objectified. But what Plastic Chair YouTube is about is not any of the interesting parts that we're talking about. They talk about collecting these chairs. And it's the thing that they're really into. And there's a small community of people, and they make videos for each other. And this was the one that I've found that I love.
See, you're thinking maybe this might be a little bit mundane. You have no idea.
It's called,
you have no idea
it's
how mundane it is.
It's called Top 5 Plastic Chairs Enthusiasts Would Die to Own.
Oh boy, here we
go. Go ahead, Alex. Flip it towards me so I can see what's happening and narrate it.
Here's a quick top 5 of some chairs that I said for years that I would die to own, and I finally have them. Number 5.
What you're looking at is basically still shot. The guy's not on camera. He's pointing the camera down at the chairs in a still shot and talking over it.
Very beautiful, unmarked chair. I believe it was made by a company called Sun Terrace. I thought this was a U.S. leisure chair, but it's not. It says Sun Terrace on the back. And it looks just like that really fancy one. It's almost the same exact design. Number 2, the Lawnware fan back.
So these chairs are in a kind of a dank basement lined up against the wall, and we're in a pretty close shot.
Of the list. But these two chairs right here have some significance to the industry. And originally, the Cafe Vienna was strictly sold to the rental industry. The guy at Lawnware wanted to make the ultimate rental chair, and I'd say he did.
Now there's a twist coming up.
Like 30 years old. And most rental companies that bought these chairs 30 years ago, they still use them today because they were made so well. I've seen them put more than 500 pounds of sandbags on that chair and it doesn't break.
What?
And this chair here was just Capisa messing with different designs. Unfortunately, I really know nothing about this chair. It's totally unmarked and I don't know any of the history on it. The first time I saw this chair, it must have been around 2000. My sister was taking dancing lessons, and they had two of them in the studio to sit on.
He delineates his life by when he saw these chairs.
In his warehouse for 20, 30 years. They've been excellently preserved.
This is so much more
interesting. Now, wait, pause, please. Please pause. Now, something just happened, which we need to note.
Yes.
So the camera pans. The camera pans, and we see, even though we've just been looking at one wall, it pans, and now we see another chamber, an antechamber in the basement. And in this chamber, it opens up, and he has a huge basement, and it is fucking filled to the brim with plastic chairs. I mean, there must be, what do you think, Alex? 150 plastic chairs
least,
all stacked up?
Well, because
up.
They're all stacked, and like, Jesus.
Oh my God.
So keep going.
Oh, God. This is going to be, let's make this the show art for the after show.
Because of this mess over here. Just look at all those double and triple and multi-stacked chairs.
Wow.
And I still got the three stacks.
And now the other side of the basement.
Upstairs.
Oh, my God.
Although I brought these two down to make the video. And I brought the Lawnware Cafe Vienna down here, which I'm going to have to take all three of them back upstairs. Here's a chair I saved tonight.
That's anyway, so what I like about this, like, I feel like, I guess if I'm being honest, there is an element of making fun of this guy. But it's more of like that there's things like that that I'm nerdy about. I mean, I have my Star Trek action figures and stuff like that, and I could go into equal history of what the deal is with each of these sets of action figures and stuff. It's just that it's so weird. It's just that he's made this video to explain it to an audience that doesn't exist, and the meticulousness of it. It's the same thing as the productivity stuff. It's like,
oh, totally.
I don't know. It's just like, it's just an interesting, like, the process of, like, I'm going to fucking make this thing and devote a whole YouTube channel of it and produce this thing. Like, I don't know. There's something interesting.
It's something, and something kind of actually wonderful about just unbridled enthusiasm, although it is obviously kind of strange.
Well, but that's the thing. I don't feel like, I love this shit because it's just so, it's so pure. Like, there's no, yes, okay, go buy my book about chairs. It's just, I want to make this thing because I care deeply about it. And the same thing with elevator YouTube. It's just so, it's guys going.
What is elevator YouTube? They, just people who are people, elevator enthusiasts?
They walk into an elevator and then they just assess this, like, situation, how it's, like, some of them, like, it's like this, where they're not actually really talking about the design or stuff like that, but there is, like, oh, the button feel of this, and it's like that unbridled joy of, like, oh, here it comes, we're going to the next floor, and it's just, it's cool. It's kind of like I have the weird, like, iPhone case thing where I get like, oh, I don't like how this makes my hands feel. The other day Maddie was trying to explain, like, yeah, my wife's got this weird thing where she really doesn't like touching certain stuff. And it made me sound, well, I am crazy, but like their coworker is like, okay.
I had that as a child. I really disliked touching corduroy. It really bothered me.
Oh, it's me. Ugh. Yeah. No. Why does it?
But I'm with you. I'm with you on the like whatever that is that makes something feel a little like human skin. It's like, it's so gross.
I just like when people are excited about things.
Can we watch my Ty Lambo video?
Yeah. Let's. Okay.
So basically, have you ever seen the original Ty Lopez video in
you
the Hollywood
You have to explain
Hills?
This to me from the beginning. Pretend I don't know anything about this. I'm
okay,
so fucking
well, let's
lost.
Start. Let's start with the original video, which is amazing. And then we'll watch this cut 'em up that they did. Give me just a second.
I have such a good fucking challenge this week. You guys are going to lose your shit. I have the best challenge.
Well,
oh, good, good, good.
Well, give, Merlin give is finding this
thing. I have a
thing.
Challenge that fucking owns. I have such a good challenge.
I have a thing that I don't. We might have to cut this out. But, oh, God.
Uh-oh. Alex is very apprehensive.
Well, and I told this story to Trin. I'm like, is this something I should say on a podcast? And even she was like, I have.
It's not me.
In my adult life.
Oh, I'm
well,
okay with it.
It is. In my adult life, I've always purchased certain products that may not be legal through like a third party. I don't like having a guy, but
you're saying you buy weed from one of these places where you text them and they deliver it.
Oh no, not even that. I go to a friend who uses those services.
Yeah, right. That's what I do. I don't. I'm not on the text service, but I have friends that are, and they get me weed.
Exactly. Right. But there was the day, just like the day like we found out Tommy had cancer. I was just like, okay, fuck it. I'm gonna I haven't told you that. Yeah, no, you know how everybody
Tommy
in my
has
family.
Cancer?
No, not your Tommy. My little brother has cancer. The one fucking normal one.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Alex.
No, it's fine. Everything is fine. I see. No one be sad. No one be sad. Everything's okay. But it was the day.
The one thing you can control, like, everyone's mood.
Yeah. Well, then. Well, no, but okay. So now that I've made everyone sad, I was like, okay, fuck it. I am just going to contact this person who sells this thing because I am sad and I want to be less sad. And then, so now I make transactions with this young man. And the other day, he's like, oh, I like your haircut. And I'm like, what a strange thing to say. But I was like, oh, thank you. And
No. Go on.
And then he says, yeah, you know what? I just went to $10, so I'm really excited about that poster.
No.
And I was so,
you're kidding
and I was
me.
So happy because literally
oh
I had his
God.
Number. I was so
Do I
happy.
Know this person?
No. I don't even, I literally don't know his name. And I was so happy because I don't know his name. He doesn't know my, or I thought he didn't know my name.
Oh my
and
God.
I was like, fuck. And I was like, oh,
you're going to be black. You're going to be blackmailed and then murder suicided by this guy. I guarantee it.
No, but he's a wee lass.
Then he's going to eat your hair out.
He's very professional. I don't.
Did he come to your house? Does he know where you live?
No.
Did he come to the office?
No.
What, did you meet him at a gas station?
No, he had. It's at his apartment.
You went to him?
Yeah. Okay. I was very sad. And then.
Was it good weed?
I
don't insult. He's a subscriber.
Oh,
Alex.
That's right. It varies, but and I was.
This show suddenly got very, very complicated.
Oh my God.
I'm going to cut this out.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
I have never.
Do not cut this out. This is so funny.
I had. Well, thank you,
I think
sir.
It's a tremendous compliment, and you should be very proud of yourself.
I'm very happy that I still don't know your name. Let's keep it that way. But thank you. My entire adult life. Merlin, let's go to. All right, Lambo, Ty Lambo.
But $10 subscriber. That guy's all right with me.
So what do you buy, an eighth?
Well,
oh my God. Oh my God.
There's a discount. If theoretically you bought a fourth, there's a very steep discount. But
did you just call a quarter bag a fourth?
I don't know.
When I was in college, I always called it a quad, but I don't know if that's...
Well, I don't know the
Jesus.
What do
you
call it?
No wonder you guys can't afford
what do you call it, Ron?
The words? And that's the thing. I don't even
Ty Lopez, a.k.a. Ty Lambo.
How much
Ty
is
Lopez
a quarter?
Is a guy.
Half... twice as much as an eighth. I don't.
How much is an eighth?
The stuff that's like $30. Like okay. I don't.
When I was in college, a quarter bag was $45.
Weed is so cheap now.
It's kind of upsetting. I wish that I could.
Is it really?
Oh my God! I mean, I think we used to buy a quarter ounce in college for like $100.
Like good stuff. Like
well,
like
the best we
buds.
Could get, but which wasn't good. But
no, our shake weed was.
But it was like a guy, you know, you had to have a dealer who would like come to your college, and like it was such a fucking.
It was a whole thing.
Procedure.
You smoke it together. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Ty Lambo?
Has that actually happened? Is that something
you had to
do?
Yes. I had to smoke with everyone I ever bought weed from.
That's
always.
That's wow. Wow. Well, I'm very glad.
And it was like etiquette to
imagine
offer
if your
them,
pizza guy wanted a slice.
And then basically, what? You're supposed to offer them from like your stash that you just bought.
Oh. Well, I'm very glad that I am. Waited so long in life to do this because
thank you for giving us your money.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
This is not going to be funny. But anyway, so watch the one I did here in my garage.
God. Is this the most recent thing you've sent?
Yes.
Okay.
Here in my garage, just bought this new Lamborghini here. It's fun to drive up here in the Hollywood Hills. But you know what I like a lot more than materialistic things?
Oh, yes.
Knowledge.
Yes.
In fact, I'm a lot more proud of these 7 new bookshelves that I had to get installed to hold 2,000 new books that I bought. It's like the billionaire Warren Buffett says, the more you learn, the more you earn. Now, maybe you've seen my TEDx talk where I talk about how I read a book a day. You know, I read a book a day not to show off.
Wait,
it's again
please
about
pause.
The knowledge. In fact,
oh,
the
yes.
real reason
please
I...
Please pause. I have so many questions. Is this real or
yep.
is this a
100%
comedy?
Real. He has a program with 3 points that you can sign up for.
Oh, my God.
And if you search him on YouTube, you will see lots of things about scams and conspiracies.
He bought 2,000 books?
2,000 new books when he's got the bookshelves for that.
It's like, I don't really know if they're good or not. The key
account.
Thing is that you read a lot of them.
Yeah, keep going.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Book a day.
Here is that it's a reminder that dreams are still possible because it wasn't that long ago that I was in a little town across the country sleeping on a couch in a mobile home with only $47 in my bank account. I didn't have a college degree. I had no opportunities. But you know what? Something happened that changed my life. I bumped into
a mentor.
Oh, no.
And another mentor. And a few more mentors. Mm-hmm. I found 5 mentors.
5 mentors.
And they showed me what they did to become multimillionaires.
Why is he rotating?
Again, it's not just about money. It's about the good life. Health,
the cars,
love,
the
and
book,
happiness.
The cars, the book.
And so I recorded a little video. It's actually on my website. You can click here on this video. And it'll take you to my website
sprung.
Where I share 3
the
things
X is in
that
place.
They taught. 3 things
some
that
honey.
You can implement today no matter where
Who's
you are.
Hungry for honey, bitch?
Now, This isn't a get-rich-quick scheme. You know, like they say, if things sound too good to be true, they are too good to be true. Mm-hmm. I'm not promising you that tomorrow you're going to be able to go out and buy a Lamborghini. But what I am telling you is it can happen faster than you think if you know the proven steps. So I record a little two-minute video on my website. Like I said, now it's not the most professional. I just shot it here with my iPhone.
But unlike this one?
Nobody can argue. This is my true story. And I'm going to give you the three most important things you can do.
You should.
So click the link. Go there. It's completely free to watch it. It's just a couple minutes. Invest in yourself. Always be curious. Don't be a cynic.
I hate this.
Okay?
Are we done, Merlin?
See videos like
this. Yeah, scroll up and watch the other one.
For somebody else.
All right.
Don't listen.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've seen that one three times, and the one that you're about to watch, I watch three times a week.
All right, here we go.
My garage just bought this new Lamborghini here. It's fun to drive up here in the Hollywood Hills.
I've never seen this. Oh, my God.
But you know what I like a lot more than knowledge? This new Lamborghini here. But you know what I like a lot more than the new Lamborghini here? My TEDx talk where I talk about this
new Lamborghini here.
In fact, I'm a lot more proud of these seven new Hollywood Hills that I had to get installed to hold 2,000 new Lamborghinis.
Beat.
It's like the Buffett Warren billionaire says, the more you earn, the more you drive up here in the Hollywood Hills. In fact, the real reason I keep this Lamborghini here is that it's a reminder that dreams are still possible, because it wasn't that long ago that I was in a little Lamborghini sleeping on bookshelves in the Hollywood Hills with only $47 billion in my bank account and only 47 Lamborghinis in my Lamborghini account and only 47 hills in my Hollywood account and only 47 TEDx talks where I talk about Warren Buffett's in my TEDx talks where I talk about Warren Buffett account. But you know what? Something happened that changed my life. I bumped into a Lamborghini and another Lamborghini and a few more Lamborghinis. I found 5 Lamborghinis. I don't call it money anymore. I call it fuel units. You must have enough fuel units. You must have enough Lamborghinis. You must
construct additional pylons.
I'll see you on my website. It's a quick video. And you'll see there absolutely
nothing.
Oh my God. Is that a Vince Burger?
Merlin. Whew.
I don't know, but it's so good. It's so special. So that whenever Alex, have you ever heard us talk about Ty Lambeau? That's who we're talking about.
Have you ever seen Sir Lawrence Olivier for Diet Coke by an old comedy group called the Radio Free Vestibules? No, Alex, put on that. Sir Lawrence Olivier for Diet Coke.
Oh my God.
Hello, I'm Lawrence Olivier. I've been dead for over 2 years. Now. But through the marvelous technology of ape editing, I'm able to speak to you from beyond the grave. What you are listening to right now was made by cutting together things I said in my many films and interviews. Although I never would have endorsed a product like this when I was alive. My estate has determined that if I was alive, I would really want to tell you how much I enjoy the taste of Diet Coca-Cola. I think Diet Coca-Cola is really excellent, dude. It's awesome. I wish I could have some now, but I can't because I'm dead. But take it from me, Laurence Olivier. Maketh thy mouth alive with Diet Coca-Cola. It's everything you want it to be.
So, I'm curious, Merlin, could you hear the stereo mix of that?
I'm not sure.
Was
it heavily separated?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I didn't hear a stereo mix. I got a mono mix. Should spend another $10,000 on the studio.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Could you bring up my headphones?
All right. Are we done now?
Oh,
wait. I have to say the challenge.
Oh, that.
It's my challenge, right?
Take a challenge, Max.
Here we go. Are you guys ready for this?
Maybe.
Not really.
All right.
I thought I was ready, but I'm pretty definitely not
ready. Gird your loins, because here it comes.
Lucky me.
All right. What's wrong? Here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. I'm going to propose a weather challenge. What this means is you have to pick something about the climate and monitor it for 1 week.
Oh, fuck,
So you could pick barometric pressure. You could you could pick humidity, and I'm going to throw in a couple of different twists and turns. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to buy some sort of device.
Oh,
not a problem.
You have to buy some sort of device.
I literally bought a new weather station last week.
Okay. I don't want to know what it is. You're going to talk about it next week on the podcast. Okay? So everyone is going to go out there, and you're going to buy some sort of device, and we're all going to come back, and then you're going to do a little climatology report on what you're tracking and how it affects you and what you learned and what sort of gizmos that you bought.
I love this challenge, and I've just sent you a link. I don't know if you're as into Weather Underground as I am, but once you visit that page I just sent you, which
the
is where
group?
You are, you...
That's a good documentary, too.
You will see how many different kinds of shit you can be monitoring with regard to the weather, including allergens. You could be looking at the UV index, air quality, pollen, Alex.
I know.
No. Did I get your zip right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh.
This is for Lincoln Park, not Wicker Park.
You're talking about
Logan
over there on
Michigan
Square. Wacker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You call that a Philly cheesesteak?
So, do we...
Yeah, so you can see your barometric pressure, your visibility, you got clouds, dew point.
So, what high. What should we put a budget on this so that we can...
I'm Susan DuPont.
Should we spend some of this out of the podcast money?
I have been I've been angling for a while to get a Jason Snell style full on fucking weather station.
Can we put a?
I think
oh
you need.
God.
What do we? What
you
does that cost?
You need to attach it to a PC.
$50
I would go higher than that.
$100
But
I'd say. $170
$170 All right. Well, why don't we
speak? Oh, I want an Internet of Things one.
Why don't we say let's each pick some sort of climatology monitoring device in the $100 range and just get it, and we'll talk about what we learned and we'll review it and go through our experiences over the next
week.
Alex,
are you into this as much as I am?
I hate how much I'm into it.
I know you guys would love
you
this.
You can become Marcia Roderick. You're going to become Climate Girl.
Weather
station. Let's go look at weather station.
All right. I have a law school test.
Oh, yeah.
So
look at this. I got a new lacrosse.
Good luck on your... Oh, I'm going to read Max's paper he sent us.
Tepkin_paper.
Quick question. How do you turn in papers, Max? Is it a physical situation or
some bad
software?
There's really no paper changes hand.
They got to be able to run the algorithm on it.
My sound just went away. Oh. So I don't know if I'm able to generalize based on what's happening, what my experience is in law school to like what happens in colleges broadly now. But the big changes for me between being in college, 8 years ago and being in school now, there's really very little physical paper. You know, a big part of my life in college was that I had a backpack and it was full of papers and I had folders. I had 43 folders and they were all full of assignments and I had like stickers and grid paper and highlighters, and there was all this physical shit that you would have to like
accept words from books and make marks on paper.
Right, and I was always a computer guy, and I mean this was well. And I'm not saying that like it was weird. Like we were living in it. This was 2005 to 2010 were the years I was in college. And so it was like clearly a computer world, but still a huge part of my undergraduate career was like typing shit from a book into the computer or typing shit from a handout into the computer. And there just wasn't like OCR sucked. Like there wasn't a good way to do it. It just, you just had to sit there and do it. But anyway, now I would say like it's largely a PowerPoint based economy. So like a lot of what you do is like the teacher sends out a PowerPoint and then you just sit there and they read the PowerPoint to you in class.
Oh shit, really?
Yes, yes.
Is that as bad as it sounds?
It's pretty bad. I mean, I kind of zone out. It depends on the class, but
I mean, are they good at communicating the needed information? Are they well-made slides?
Yeah, they're okay. They're not the best, not the worst. It depends a lot on the teacher. But, the worst version of this is one where they're almost verbatim reading the slides. And then but you have to go. The attendance is mandatory at the class. So it's like, I sit there, but, most of them you can have your computer. So I just sort of zone out and answer emails. And then, I catch up on the...
so dispiriting.
I flip through the slideshow later. And I'm getting good grades, so it's working out. But like the best classes I've taken are the slideshow plus. Like you do stuff in class that actually makes you understand it.
How many students are in there?
I've had my smallest class had maybe 20 students, and my largest class has probably had more like 100.
Oh my god, my college had a 9-to-1 student faculty ratio.
Well, you went to a hippie school. And also his undergrad.
Well,
right?
My undergrad was tiny, tiny classes. I mean, yeah. I had one class with three students in it, and all we did was read Descartes.
I had one class with four teachers. No.
it was an entire class with the Cartesian circle, and every week we would read a different paper about the Cartesian circle. And if you didn't do your reading, you fucking busted you had to. I worked my ass off.
We had written
class.
Evaluations for every class. Yeah. So, like, if you didn't do it, you really heard about it.
Yep.
The lady who brought our room service, one of the ladies who brought room service to our room over the weekend,
I like your haircut.
I'm here to fix Dinah Cobble. She comes in and like she has just walked in. She's got a bunch of tattoos. I'm like, and I actually said in front of my daughter, I said, "Holy shit, is that a Kurt Vonnegut tattoo?" She had. If you've ever seen the doodles, his famous doodle, yeah. of course, is his asshole. Mm-hmm. But there's the doodle he does of himself, kind of stylized with the big hair and then his signature under it. And she fucking lit up. She Aww. Was like, "Yes." I was like, "Oh." I met him when I was in college. And I totally made it about
me.
Were
you like, and then we went out to breakfast and we...
But I'll tell you, she's a baller. I said my favorites were Cat's Cradle and Slaughterhouse Five, obviously. You know what her favorite is? Sirens of Titan.
She's deep cut.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
And I said, well, we read 14 books in 7 weeks, so I'm not exactly sweating it. There will be no tip.
Max, go to school and Merlin and I can gossip about you.
Yeah, yeah. Bye, buddy.
Wait, you guys talk about me after
no,
I leave?
No, I just have an inbox here.
No, we have a whole Slack channel for that. It's called air conditioning, Poundsline air conditioning. Keep your air off my pussy. Keep your air.
Keep the air conditioning over 78 degrees.
God.
Are you doing Trin? Time. Is that Trin?
God damn it. No, it was all. It was a bunch of the men in the office. Yeah,
it was all dudes. Most of the women I talked to were like, "No, it's
like what
they were like 72, 68 to 72 is the right range."
I just want
to
be respected.
And I was like 61, yeah, maybe 59.
Yeah, it was a lot of concern. It was a good amount of.
Is that
trolling.
The official Polish girl temperature?
We are large with hair. Mini hair is a good place to heat for the Rubenesque woman. It is nice for me to have temperature down near the 60 degrees. I don't know what it is in chaos, but for me it's important. The childbearing areas can vary them suddenly, German. I don't know why.
I was like, really? Gotta suggest to all lesbians, convince your partner to transition so that when they're on T, they're much less cold, and then you can keep the... air conditioning it. Yeah. Trans life hack.
Well, that's,
I need to get
that's quite a lifestyle adjustment just to have a better temperature in your house.
You know what?
Get her done.
So I was trying to do this tweet of like, remember when someone did that article of Twitter where they're like, the reason we can't deal with like Nazis on Twitter is because it's written in Rails, which was very funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that was so
And
dumb.
Then I started thinking about
that was like one source, this one ding-a-ling with an axe to grind. What a terrible article.
Anyway, I just started thinking of like, you know, I should really save these excuses for the next time people get mad at me for something I say. And the ones I came up with were, number one, I just ate a big bowl of chili. Number two, it was a heated gaming moment. Number three, built on Rails. And then the fourth one I was going to say was come out as trans. Like if people get mad.
No. I told you trans. You said come out as gay and I suggested trans.
Oh, because
well,
I was doing a Kevin Spacey thing, but trans is funnier.
It is funnier.
People, I can't say that on Twitter though, right?
No, like people get mad.
Right, they'll get more mad. If someone gets mad at me and I'm like, oh, actually I'm trans.
Here's the thing. Literally no trans person will get mad. They'll think it's very funny. But
I know.
I said Jen typical came up with a really good... by Jew Run Media. Just wanted to trigger libs.
Jen came up with the best one of all, but she gave it. She sent it to me the next morning after I made the tweet. But she was like, "Number four, haven't processed 9/11."
Oh man, too soon. Never forget.
Oh, I have a good story I could tell that we could put in the podcast.
Oh, tell your 9/11 story.
So we're well, you know, as we know, we all got a message the day before, so going to work. Anyway, no, we have, so we're going to this convention.
This is George Soros.
So we're going into, we're going to this convention C2E2 in a couple months, and it's like the Comic-Con type thing in Chicago. And they want us to buy some fucking, we're doing like a comedy theater and some stuff, and they want us to buy some fucking sign for $4,000. And they kind of sold Tom, our events manager, on it. But Tom's been pushing pretty hard for this sign. And we're trying to come up with something to say on the sign. And I was like, ugh, like having a big sign at a convention. Like, you know what I'm talking about? A big banner, like those big-ass signs. And I was like, hey, $4,000 is kind of ridiculous. Like, I mean, that's an insane amount of money to spend on that. But also, like, just, I mean, who the fuck notices those things? Because the thing is, there's a million signs. Like, it doesn't help. You're just, like, yelling into the wind, right? It's, like, not...
Everything at those shows is so crazy and inflated. And it's, like, it's one of those Mr. Wonderful type things. Right. I love weddings and funerals because people spend irrationally.
Right.
It's the same thing with a convention. You fucking pay somebody to empty the garbage can that you're paying to have and then guard it at night. It's fucking insane.
They always try to sell Wi-Fi, too, and it's, like, $600 for five up. But, I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's a totally irrational market. But anyway, I'm just, again, I'm sort of anti-sign at these things because I think, like, no one reads the signs and remembers them. Like, it's the worst. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you imagine it like a sign, like, on the street, but it's not because there's 5 million signs. Like, and everyone who's there and they're fucking busy and going to meetings and stuff. Anyway, so we're Tom's trying to sell the sign, and I was like, all right, if we can think of something funny, I guess we can do it. So we brought it to the partners. We had a big brainstorm. And the best thing we could come up, you know, it was like, what do we put on there? Like, come to the Cards Against Humanity, like, comedy theater, or, like, you know, comedy happening in this room. And it was just like, I don't know. I didn't want to do a big fucking ad in people's faces. But anyway, so we had a big brainstorm. And we came up with something really funny, which is just black banner, white text, you know, looks like Cards Against Humanity. It just says, breaking news. President Donald Trump has died of diarrhea. And then, underneath it says, it would just say, come to the Cards Against Humanity Comedy Theater in room, you know, 431 or whatever. So that was the pitch. And we sent it back to C2E2 and we're like, fine, we'll buy your fucking banner. Here's the joke we want to do. And it was making us all laugh. And they came back and they were like, you know, sweating, like pulling their collar. And they're like, oh, actually, you can't say that. And so the first thing they tried to say was we weren't allowed to say the word diarrhea on a banner. And that was such bullshit.
So they were like, insane.
And so it was like, all right, well, what about like, he pooped himself or whatever. And they were like, well, the other issue is like, it can't, they were like, well, our policy is it can't just make fun of one person because that would be bullying the president. So what you, they were like, you could have multiple like white cards where maybe it's like President Trump and Hillary Clinton have died of diarrhea. That's funny, right? Like twice as funny. So
heroes on both sides.
So we were just like, fuck, we were like, God, fuck this. And so Ben came up with one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life, which is to just do a huge red, white, and blue banner, like an American flag, and we just put on it, C2E2 is a proud supporter of President Donald Trump. No, don't mention us at all.
Oh, my God.
And then the other thing we could do something like, I was like, well, Tom, I was like, what if we just do something like C2E2 wouldn't let us make a joke about Donald Trump? And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, they actually suggested that as an option. I was like, well, fuck.
Wait,
like,
Matt, Tom, fuck you if you're listening. I suggested that.
No,
oh, my
C2E2
God.
Came up with that. So they were like, well, you could say you could do a funny thing making fun of us. And I was like, fuck, well, that's like playing right into their little
That's
their
hegemony.
Clutches. Yeah, I don't tell me to do that because then it's not rebellion. Right?
It's
like your parents like giving you a can of shaving cream on Halloween and being like, why don't you go tear up the neighborhood? It's like, come on, now it's lame. Let me play video games.
Have some wine.
This company hates us so much.
I found in looking through Seduction Community, I found the, it's called the subreddit for Seduction. It's called, it's r/seduction. And it makes me really wish I could do Max's droopy voice, because I want to read every one of these. I'll just send it to you.
Text me one, and I'll do a little reading, and then I gotta go.
Okay. Why dating apps are killing your game.
Oh, Christ.
Ideas for a girl who lives an hour away.
I don't want to use your goddamn app. Stop it. Wait, what do you... Oh, you want me to just read the titles?
Well, just pick out some good ones that would be good for droopy voice.
How do I reconnect with girls I knew in high school or college?
Which one? Oh, no, that's so sad. Which one?
These are so sad. These guys are so sad.
God, the which logo one should
I mean, they're transitively
top.
And intransitively sad.
Which one
they are pathetic.
Post? Like, give me a... What's one that's going to be just the right amount of sad?
They're all...
There's so many, Max. Just pick one you like.
They're all the wrong amount of sad. They're either not self-aware enough or too self-aware.
I can't tell if other vegans here is real.
My
or...
simple advice on how never to be in the friend zone.
Yeah, these are really bumming me out. To be honest, I'm kind of losing my boner here.
Depressed, had an absent father figure growing up. I don't know how to catch up. Why did this girl lose interest?
These guys are real operators.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
Oh, we didn't even get to my rant. Anyway. We'll cover it next time. But,
oh,
you know,
my God,
the
they're like
the thing...
long fucking drawn out stories. Jesus.
Oh, they're so
Christ.
Sad.
Here we go.
Headlines.
How do I reconnect with girls I knew in high school or college?
Hang on. And this is by user NoCarlGF.
Oh, God.
All right, I have to stop laughing. Don't laugh, please. All right, you're gonna make.
Oh my
me
god!
Break.
So his username involves the question.
I never
no
had
college
a
girlfriend
GF in high school, and I didn't have one in college until the very end. Every girl I ran into was taken or a lesbian, or I wasn't assertive enough to ask her out. So another guy got to her and started dating her first.
Alex. Alex is dying.
Everything's fine.
By the way,
Droopy, are you still awkward?
Every girl he knew in college was not a lesbian. No. They just said that so that he would stop talking to them. I'm trans.
Actually, Droopy, I would love to go out with you, but I have the herpes.
I am now no longer as awkward. And I see some of these girls often when I visit home. How do I message them to meet up or message the girls I don't see too often? I did know them in high school or college, but I wasn't assertive enough or they had boyfriends at the time.
Oh, God. That's the thing is like one of the bars. And so you guys heard that pre-release secret episode I sent you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, you can get a whiff from somebody about when they're dispensing advice. Or whether it's about productivity or girls or whatever, it's like there's this certain kind of advice, which is like, I want you to get over whatever hump you're having right now and then go do a thing. And there's another thing that's really just about, I want you to like tie on a fucking feed bag and tear off the knob. And I want you here all the time doing my grocery store affirmations. And it's like this shit is like, dude, just go out there and meet people. Mm. Like, go out and be a person. Don't ask other men for advice on how to meet women. Just go out and be a fucking human being.
You're talking to the wrong. Like, these men have considered that option and are like, oh no, that's that.
I'm not ready yet.
Those are for the handsome men. That's for the guys with money.
Mm. You know what's so tragic about this is all these guys get into the seduction thing. And I knew guys in college who were super into this and they bought books about it and would give each other tips and
it's
shit.
Very immersive. It's super immersive.
It was like totally my generation too that I think this really blew up because people had access to it on the internet and stuff like that. But what basically the ultimate tragedy of it is that these are guys who have like no confidence and they feel really bad about themselves. And so then they think, oh, if I could only get a bunch of fucking tricks and hacks to trick girls into sleeping with me, like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that'll be good for my confidence, right? Like, I'll get these girls, but in the back of my mind, like, that's the sad self-defeating thing about it is even if it works, best case scenario, these fucking mind games and tricks, they actually do work. At best case scenario, you always know in the back of your head that it was some fucking trick that got this girl to sleep with you, right? It's like, right. it's only going to ever make you feel like a bigger and bigger piece of shit about yourself, even in the
but
best
it's
case
also,
scenario.
It's so many of these different things, this is so true with the seduction community people. I think it's true with the political, like the show of things, is it's a cult of personality about the people who are doing the talking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you see this confident guy who's peacocking and has lots of rings and he hypnotizes you with his goatee. And like, that seems really appealing to you because that you see something in that you lack.
But the people who are really good at this, so the show of guys, the pickup artists, like probably cult leaders, like the David Avocado Wolf figure that I was talking about. Like, it's not a coincidence that they're in these areas because they find the people who are really hurting. They're in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
You have to be in so 100%. Much pain to Google seduction tricks to pick up women. Like, you have to be mm-hmm. hurting so much. And then you find some really charismatic guy who tells you everything that you want to hear, and it's very attractive. And that's where you get cult of personality guys.
And the pivot to productivity there is, like, I didn't even get to a whole bunch. You see it in notes, but I was going to talk about things that I actually did find useful. I think what we did turned out great. But like, I was going to suggest, like, go listen to Hypercritical go listen to You Are Not So Smart. Mm-hmm. Like, go listen to Dan Benjamin's excellent series, discontinued series, The Pipeline. Like, go listen to actual people talking about stuff. But, like, go listen to You Are Not So Smart and learn to doubt yourself more. But doubt yourself in a productive way.
Right.
Instead, like, there's all these fucking patches and hacks for how to basically keep your same broken fucking model for the world, but then just graft on a couple new tricks. They're going to make it better. And like, that's what makes you addicted to
this. You know what's interesting about so there's a lot of the productivity people who do this for a living, who that's their racket. They're not very productive. Like, they don't actually get a lot done other than like talk about productivity. And I think it's probably pretty telling that the people who actually are really productive and they actually do...
They don't have time to do a podcast.
Yeah. Well, it's not that they don't have time to do a podcast. It's that... So the people I'm thinking of who I'm like, that person like actually does get... They're living like three lives. Like, they're like ungodly. Like, they manage a lot of bullshit. They usually have a lot of like very anachronistic and like old-fashioned and like janky habits. So like an example is like some of the most productive people I know who like really crank shit out, they like write HTML websites by hand, or they use like PHP or something like that. They're not using a bunch of modern tricks and hacks. It's like they learned it once in a way where it's always going to work, and then they don't learn every new JavaScript library that comes out. I mean, that's also a side effect
of expertise in general. Is expertise, or even it's like little brother, just having access or exposure to something that you think you know about is so illuminating.
Right.
It's like there's so many people, like my classic bit is always about lawyers or, you know, attorneys, where it's like, why don't you go spend a week just hanging out at your friend's attorney office and see how you feel about that environment? That might really tell you a lot about how much work you want to put into that. But instead, I'm not trying to make a straw man here, but I just think that's one example. There's lots of things like this where it's like, until you've actually been exposed to what doing this job is like, you're going to try and apply all this bullshit to it that feels like the thing you need to do. You have no fucking, if you've never actually fixed a car, like, how do you know that you want to be a mechanic? If you're not naturally interested, if you were good at that and interested in that, you'd already be fixing cars.
Right.
Well, that was the best. I was lucky enough in college to, like, I really thought that I wanted to be a journalist. And then I was lucky enough to be like, oh, wait, I fucking hate this. This is the worst. I also don't like most journalists. And then, and I was that desperate person. And there was this show, Back to Work, that didn't feed on the fears of the youths, but was very helpful and good.
But you know what's crazy about Back to Work is it's not like you guys don't really talk about you. How do I? It's like you're not really giving, like, you're not talking about new technologies and tricks and shit.
It's more, I mean, we talked about this in that episode with Syracuse that I sent you, which goes up tonight. Yeah. But like by the time I was doing Back to Work, I was kind of coming out of this dark period of working on the book and feeling guilty about not finishing that. And like, I'm not allowed to do anything good, not allowed to have fun. But it was really Back to Work to me started out as a tonic or an antidote to, or even a kind of like a apology in some ways about like, I'm sorry if I got you hooked on productivity stuff that was sometimes, I think I was good at what I did. I think 43 Folders was a very good site and most of what I posted was pretty good. With that said, I did know that it was addictive. And I also knew that there's this bigger anti-pattern, like I talked about in that show, you probably heard it, Alex, which is like the exact kind of tick and personal deficit that leads you to need all of these life hacks is the same thing that's going to keep you from ever knowing when to stop. You're just going to be addicted to a less productive thing. And it feels so fucking productive when you're moving your contexts around and all that shit. It feels like you're really doing something. Right. And like nobody ever shakes you and says, guy, like if Syracuse said, if it's that hard for you to do your job, should you have that job?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same.
And if you have to have that job, how do you motivate yourself? And when do you get out of needing this mech suit to get fucking anything done?
The same thing that makes you a cock with women also makes you buy boner powder from some sort of cult leader.
Thanks, Max. Go to class.
Oh boy. Now I'm thinking
about 2 hours, 33 minutes.
It is funny that Merlin's like the most prolific podcaster that in the world, and you record more good podcasts than any other person, and you do it in like the worst, dumbest way. You just like hit record on call recorder and like talk into the microphone with no edits. It's like
it's the only way to fly.
But I'm saying, like, it's like it, you know, there's probably something to that.
I was actually, we talked about it with Syracuse, where it's like my first podcast I did often was MacBreak Weekly, and there was never any hope of an edit on that because that's not how they would do it. And I think everybody should have to do that for a while. Like, before you really get into the editing and the 3-2-1 shit, like, you should do some shows where you act like it's live and you will get so much better at it. I'm not against editing. I'm just against needing editing.
We're I think we are much, much better about.
All right, edit all.
Oh, no. Our show is very, very good. All right, we're done.